Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, pause it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work.
It was the week before Christmas, and all through the store, gamers were playing Killing Zombies Galore! And I in my Chucks, and Chris in his Jacks. Is he wearing Jacks? Get it?
Yeah, Jack Purcells.
Yeah. Prepare to talk trash, and Kyle's got our backs. Blah, 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 holidays, etc., etc. Hello, everybody, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you are listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. On today's Happy Holiday episode of That Computer Show, we're going to talk a bit about augmented reality. It's everywhere. It's all around us. It's on your phone. It's on other stuff. What is augmented reality? What does it mean? And how is it going to change your life forever? Actually, there's a video game that has augmented reality. Did you see the thing with the Legos and the energy meter?
I'll get you this,
yeah. Here's something. Plastic jetliners flying too close to the sun. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner takes off on its maiden voyage.
It's made of plastic?
Yeah. All plastic. Not really all plastic, but... And potential news of the Google phone, made by Google, sold by Google, powered by Google.
I'm going to Google that real quick.
Yeah! We've got all that and more on today's episode 117 of That Computer Show. Okay, let's start with the Google phone, because I think this is actually crap. I mean, not the phone, but the news.
Really?
I am looking on device.com. Let me link you there, sir. Chris, how are you today, Chris?
I'm good. I'm sipping Gluevine. No.
High-octane Gluevine.
Is it Gluevine or Vossel? This is
that's
Gluevine.
Gluevine. Yeah.
That you've spiked with some Blue Ice energy drink.
Yeah, liquid ice good rather. Stuff. Ooh. But it is blue. Yeah, give it about 5 minutes, we'll start seeing stars. Okay, so we talked a while back about how Google was going to launch its own smartphone. I said it was a bad idea. Chris said it was a great idea. We fought. There was some jello. Anyway, there's a phone coming out.
Thought you'd never tell anybody.
I don't want to go there. I got family listening. The Nexus One runs on the Android 2.1 operating system. It's going to be sold online by Google, although other retailers, Best Buy and some others, are probably going to be selling it too. It's going to be unlocked, meaning you can choose your own network provider. You can find some information on it on Engadget. There's some pictures of the phone. Now, there are some interesting comments that say that it's actually just an HTC phone.
Well, HTC probably manufactures the hardware. They make some really good hardware.
Yes, they do. The past three or four phones that I've had have been by HTC. My new phone, the Samsung Moment, is... Well, it's by Samsung, but it kind of feels like an HTC phone. But don't know.
I like some of the spy photos. There's actually a piece of a Post-it note covering up the name of the phone. It's got the Google Android logo, which is the little, you know, rectangular.
Yeah, it looks like he's hanging, swinging from a vine or something.
Well, I think he's holding up a flag. Underneath that piece of Post-it note is the name of the phone that we've...
He's flying his freak flag.
The Nexus One is its underground code name. We're not sure if that's actually going to be the name of the phone or not.
Right.
But some of the imagery of the phone, it does look like Android 2.0, with a couple of interesting theme elements and stuff like that on it. But yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the big news here is that if Google sells it unlocked, that means that anybody can get a nice Android 2.0 whatever phone. And not be beholden to a particular phone company like Verizon. I don't want to talk about this in this segment, but man, can you screw me now, Verizon? Did you hear about the early termination stuff?
I saw something about that a while ago, and I'm afraid of it because I just signed a new contract, not with Verizon. I signed a contract with Sprint, and Sprint also has an early termination thing. This is kind of interesting. Is that it's sort of prorated. So if I have the phone for a year and then want to cancel my contract, I only have to pay, I believe it's like half of my termination fee or something to that effect.
Yeah, it basically, with Sprint, it basically covers the amount that they give you off the subsidy for the phone. We'll talk about that in a minute because I'm pretty furious. I'll send you the link during the break and you can see this thing.
Back to the Google phone.
Yes, back to the Google phone.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. The rumor is that it's going to be using a 1 gigahertz processor, which is pretty sick. The Samsung Moment is currently the fastest Android-powered phone. It's got a 800 megahertz ARM processor in it.
Now, the Droid's got it's multiprocessor, right?
It's got two processors, one 600, one 400, but I'm not really certain as to how the
One is for graphics subsystems, one for processing.
Yeah, I'm not really certain how the workload is distributed between the two chips, but as far as usage, they appear to be about the same on the Droid and the... The Moment, in my opinion, is a little bit snappier than the Droid.
It's so yummy.
But the Droid does benefit from that having that really big screen.
Yeah.
And this phone here in the imagery looks as if it has as large of a screen as the Droid. So.
Oh, remind me to talk about my friend from Heroes later on in the show.
But what I'm not seeing and not certain if this phone has is a slide-out keyboard. I don't think it has a keyboard.
Yeah, it doesn't look. It looks more like the Droid Aris or the
G1. It looks like the G1 all growed up.
All growed up.
It's and I have some friends who have the G1. I have two or three friends who have the G1, and they love their G1 phone.
Yeah.
They've been using it since Android came out. It's a little kind of. It's kind of older. It's slower. Yeah. But they really really like their G1 phones.
I've only met one person with a Google based phone that did not like it. And this poor woman. She wanted an iPhone, and her kids told her to get this instead, and she just didn't know how to use it, and I'm pretty sure she was afraid of technology, and had she had some time to play with it, I think she would have loved it.
If she's lost and feels inconvenienced by the Android, she would feel equally lost with the iPhone.
Probably, yeah.
They're very, very similar as far as the interface approach. I do feel like the Google Android phones tend to be more open and configurable. People have complained about when you get a lot of apps installed on your iPhone that if you have to search through them quite a bit.
Right.
One of our friends of the store actually posted a Twitter asking for a request for a function on the iPhone where if you can send to the front page of your apps a particular app that you use a lot.
Like a favorites kind of a thing?
For me on my phone, I would just grab that app and just put it on one of the three panes that I have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. You've heard of the Boeing 787, the Dreamliner?
Yeah, didn't like 2,400 people like show up to see its maiden voyage or something?
Yeah, they did a webcast.
That's a lot of people to watch a commercial airliner take flight.
Oh, yeah. Their first... There's some interesting stuff with this plane. First transport is. I didn't even catch that. Thank you, Chris. Yay! Interesting stuff, though. Of course, the plane was a half hour late. Obviously, it was a plane. So.
I mean, yeah, it's come on.
Yeah. And
it's probably because the pilots were sitting in the pilot's lounge.
Where's the start button?
And they're sitting there going, "We have a flight today, don't we? Oh yeah, we're supposed to be in theater on stage at." About a half hour ago.
Let's finish this drink first.
Yeah, finish my coffee.
And my gin and tonic. Sorry. That was mean.
I have a really good friend who's a pilot, and they really, really take their job seriously. I kid them, but...
Yeah, you gotta...
It's not like starting your car. You know, you can't get in this airplane, turn a key, and take off.
You stall out your Boeing 787.
They did that in Airplane, the movie.
Yeah.
He had to feather the gas pedal a little bit to get it to...
50% of this plane, 50% of this plastic plane is made of carbon fiber reinforced plastic. 15% of it is made of aluminum. It has 20% better fuel efficiency than its comparably sized planes. But it zips along at the same speeds as today's fastest airliners, Mach 0.85.
And that's fast for a big plane like
that. Yeah, it's right under 650 miles per hour. Yeah, it's been delayed for about 2 years. Got off the ground without a hitch, other than being a half hour late. Pretty interesting.
Cool.
And it's big. So, what else do I have to talk about? Boeing 7... Augmented reality. Okay.
Yeah, you said something about that.
Now, augmented reality is not an entirely new idea. But we're starting to see it... everywhere. For example,
on my phone,
on your phone, you have a what is it called? Layer, LAYAR. On Android, you can get what's called the Layer browser. It uses your camera on your phone, and it combines the GPS, the level, the compass, the waffle iron. All of the bits in your phone work together, to overlay important information. For example,
like the fact that Kyle here is really V. He's really one of the V.
He's got a V browser. You can see geographically tagged Twitter posts. You can see nearby restaurants. You can view their menus in the reality augmented reality browser. Pretty cool sci-fi stuff. Now
you can even find a flu shot finder.
Wow, really? Yeah, Layer is in its infancy, but as is augmented reality.
It seems like every time I start the Layered app, there are more things, more layers that you can choose from.
Yeah.
Apartments for rent, tickets for movies, menus, yellow pages, flu shot. There's even games, golf, things like that.
There's a system that a gentleman named Franz Lassorn has created. I'm just going to read this. I found this on Device, and this is kind of cool stuff. See how they're targeting the little kid. Look at that, Chris.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a France-based game designer, Franz Lassorn. He's created a way to take augmented reality and... What's that? Oh, nice. It's a game system called Scope. It takes real-world toys and objects and assigns values and powers to those objects. Each piece has a different code attached that is readable by a connected computer. When the gamer dons the headset, the objects become fully interactive, allowing for a whole new range of gaming paradigms to be explored. Some of the comments are funny. This I love this one by Preacher. Made sufficiently portable, the Wi-Fi hookups and battery packs, this could do what no innovation has been able to accomplish. Make LARPs fun. Lightning bolt.
For those out there,
cast magic missile at the darkness.
What a LARP. What he's referring to is live action role play.
Yeah.
People who pretend to be other people, but not just like characters on a piece of paper saying, oh, my character Johnny bashes your character Johnny on the head with a club. Roll the dice.
Oh, and of course, the third comment, lightning bolt. Yeah, somebody actually beat me to it. But the thing about this, a lot of people who play paintball or airsoft.
Yeah.
And you have, like in airsoft, you have people who cheat because they get shot and they just don't, you know, it hurts, but they don't. But with this, you could actually have an interactive targeting. It's like a smart link from Shadowrun.
Interesting.
Cool stuff, man. And then there's a video that I'm going to watch the video. Maybe I should wait because you guys can't see the video. Yeah, I'll wait. It looks really cool, though.
Well,
Chris, you talk while I watch this.
I've got some interesting news. This happened the other day in a morning press release on the 17th. Mark Shuttleworth, the CEO of Conical, Conical is the name of the company that produces the Ubuntu Linux distribution that I use. Conical is getting a new CEO. Mark Shuttleworth is stepping down, and he's going to continue to focus more on Ubuntu and the community Linux distribution. Jane Seibler will take over as the chief operating officer of Conical. She's going to head up the business end, and Mark Shuttleworth is going to be more focused on Ubuntu and improving Linux on the desktop.
How do you think that will affect the two organizations?
Since he is more design and techno minded, it's going to allow him to better focus on what is important to the Ubuntu desktop, the Ubuntu community. Jane has been with Conical for quite a while, and she's more business-minded. She will direct the company in the correct areas that are going to make the company more profitable. So it's actually a win-win situation. I was kind of shocked when I saw that he was stepping down, but this is actually a good thing for Conical and a good thing for Ubuntu.
So. Yeah. Hmm. All right.
Now, I've already started to see some design elements that he's going to be spending a lot of time in for the next version of Ubuntu 10.04, which is going to focus on some new interface design regarding social networking and things like that to integrate those into the operating system. So when you get a Twitter or you get a new status update on your Facebook, on your friend's Facebook, it's going to be integrated into the OS, and you'll be able to see that. Rather quickly.
Cool. So. Very cool. Okay. Well, I'm still waiting for that shiny happy day when there's seamless integration cross platform and cross device.
Oh, and another tidbit inside this article that I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is also not going to affect their relationship with Google. and the development time that Canonical has been giving to Google for their new Google Chrome OS. It seems Canonical is heavily involved in the Chrome OS operating system.
What does Mark Shuttleworth think about that, or does he say?
He's part of that team, part of that team that's helping to integrate new and exciting web-based technologies into their Google's Chrome OS.
Interesting. Well, that is all for segment one of That Computer Show, powered this week by Liquid Ice and Blue Vine. Stay tuned. After the break, we're going to bust brain on more exciting news, like how terrorists are using Russian software to hack U.S. military Predator drones.
For $30.
For $30. So you, too, can have your own UAV online. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be right back.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times, you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts, or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online
this
for you.
This is Internet Radio. It is diverse and far more entertaining than conventional over-the-air radio. It gives you something you can't get from other forms of audio media. It gives you music you might not hear anywhere else. It gives you interesting points of view and experimental methods of production and content. It's a new type of radio. But there are those that want it gone. There are people who want to take this all away from you. They say that by hearing their product over the internet that they're getting cheated out of millions of dollars. Let's see, you hear their music and decide to buy it. How does that cheat them? You like their product and choose to spend money on it, and that cheats them how? In a free world, people are supposed to have a choice about where they get their entertainment, and your independent internet broadcaster is being threatened by big money conglomerates who demand you do it their way. If you want a free internet radio community, you need to take some positive action now. Not tomorrow, now. Send an email to copyinfo@loc.gov. That is, copyinfo, copyinfo, at loc.gov. Tell the Librarian of Congress that the World Wide Web is for all people, broadcasters and listeners alike, who are entitled to enjoy this new technology without the threat of the extortion that the big money music interests are proposing. Small internet broadcasters simply cannot afford to pay an inflated per song per listener fee, and you want the free expression of music as art to remain just that, free for all.
I'm Bernie Gowdy, and I lost more than 80 pounds using Watermark Hypnosis right here in Columbia. I tried a lot of diets over the years and lost some weight, but I just gained it all back. Then I needed knee surgery, but my doctor said I had to lose weight first. I had a size 46 waist when I went to Watermark. Now I'm down to a size 34. The hypnotist at Watermark taught me what and when to eat. For the first time, I completely understood my binge eating, and they helped me change my habits. I have no question that I can reach my goal weight and stay there. Losing weight through Watermark Hypnosis has also made me healthier. I sleep better, and I take less asthma medicine now. I had my knee surgery and even used hypnosis to alleviate pain afterward. Watermark Hypnosis works.
It really does. Call Watermark today at 750-2000 for your free consultation. Lose weight and feel better today. Call 750-2000 on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
A mass of unfreshened air is moving in from the Arctic Circle. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. The National Weather Service has issued a severe musty odor advisory for the majority of the U.S. today as a massive front of stale, unfreshened air sweeps down from the Arctic. National Weather Service Director James Auslander.
We are
cautioning all citizens to be on alert for problem odors, which are now moving through the Dakotas and gaining strength as they head east.
President Clinton has pledged to refresh the air by week's end. He is working closely with the National Weather Service and AirWick officials. Doyle Redlin for The Onion Radio News. Pick up The Onion at your newsstand or visit TheOnion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, call it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap.
And we are back with more That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from ThatComputerShow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. We just spent the break watching this scope augmented reality game thing. Chris, what did you think of that?
I thought it was really cool.
I thought that was stinking awesome, man. That Lego dude.
He got his butt whooped.
Man, he kicked that other little Lego dude's butt.
I don't know.
Shields? Really?
He got hit in the face with the bazooka.
Double mega cannons? That's awesome. That is.
Anyway.
We were talking about augmented reality before the break, and Scope is a good example of augmented reality. Basically, they rubber-banded a webcam to a little headset TV display and used that to interface with the computer. The little Lego dude was standing on this little hexagon of little like barcodes. Basically, the Scope system read that, and instead of seeing little barcodes, you saw health, shields, move, like, what was it, weapons. Anyway, kind of reminded me of the Crisis menu. You know, in Crisis, when you right-click to choose your different shields or strength, or you know what I'm talking about? I'm shaking your head.
Maximum
no.
strength.
Yeah, Speed. Maximum speed, shields, whatever.
Armor.
So, anyway, that's just another example of it. Now, imagine, I don't know, walking into a store and you don't see a price tag of anything, but then you access your augmented reality and a little sign pops up, kind of overlaid over the real world that says Cokes, $1.25, or tells you the price of an item, or maybe you could scan the barcode of an item and immediately cross-reference that with other stores and get shopping, packing, and shipping information. Oh, wait, I can do that right now on my Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think iPhone has it too, but yeah. Anyway, my point is, augmented reality is basically using technology to increase, I don't know, how would you define it? I'm gonna Google it. I'm going to look it up. Augmented reality. Let's look at that up. Chris, say something really witty and wise while I'm looking this up.
Well, I want to fill our audience in on the latest news on the SciStar and Apple debacle. It seems that it's pretty much over.
Yeah. Well, okay.
SciStar gets a permanent injunction from Apple. Basically, SciStar can no longer sell computers loaded with the Apple operating system. In addition to that, they cannot in any way assist users to install OS.
Yeah, they can't use any technologies or give anybody information on ways to circumvent any copyright or access protection of any intellectual property related to OS X. Now, interestingly enough, SciStar said they're not going out of business. They're just going to sell regular PCs that quote-unquote generic PCs. Now, in the release that I read, let me find it. They said SciStar not closing up shop. They're going to continue selling their Rebel EFI software that allows consumers to load OS X on generic PCs. But now what's interesting is the permanent injunction almost specifically prohibits them from doing that, because that's considered a piece of technology or device that allows people to circumvent the copy protection.
Well, the Rebel EFI, it's not designed to only allow you to install OS X.
Well,
what it does is it allows your computer to load an EFI image even if it's not equipped or able to do so. And so that you could load operating systems that use EFI to load, such as OS X and ... whatever.
Well, and that's where the injunction, I mean, they were pretty specific. You know, granted, SciStar's computers aren't designed to only run OS X.
No, they sell machines that are preloaded with Ubuntu as well.
Right, and they're going to start selling Windows 7 machines now, they said. But I don't know. I think they can continue to sell computers. They've had their 15 minutes. But I think if they continue to press the Rebel EFI thing, I have a feeling that somebody's going to say, you know what, that's exactly what we told you not to do. Headshot. Done. Just over. But I don't know. I have a love-hate with SciStar. I mean, building a computer that can run OS X really isn't that hard, since Apple computers are basically just Intel-based computers. but they really, I mean, they pushed it. They got away with it for a really long time.
Yeah, and I've got to say that I'm on the other side of this. I think it's a good thing that SciStar was building these machines, and I think that this particular injunction is a bad thing. It really cements the, in my mind, my attitude towards Apple as a company. A lot of people like Apple for its innovation. I despise it for its closed mindedness. It's very the platforms are closed, and they exercise this behavior on every device they make, including the iPhone. The iPhone, to get an app running on the iPhone, you have to get it approved, blah, 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 unless you're willing to jailbreak your iPhone. And if you jailbreak your iPhone, we discussed this, was it last week or the week before, you enable the ability to install other applications, mm-hmm. but you run the risk of having your phone bricked during an upgrade. So this type of behavior, it's really not pleasant to the end user. We've seen this type of behavior before from companies such as Microsoft, but I'll be honest with you, Apple does this a lot more than Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't care if you run Windows XP on your toaster, as long as you've paid for a
copy. As long as you pay for your license.
They don't care.
Yeah, XP Toaster Edition. Works great, man.
Well, you can't really get new copies of XP right now, unless it's going on a toaster.
It burns your toast. There's a patch for that.
Yeah, you just upgrade to the newest patch for that. Wait till Tuesday.
Actually, it's Jelly Pack 3.
Wait till Tuesday. Yeah. Your toaster will automatically restart itself, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah. So pray you're not making toast. Pray you're not making a sandwich for the president when you're too toasted.
They added a butter slot.
A butter slot. There's an upgrade for that.
You have to purchase the Windows 7 Toaster Edition to get that.
What are we even talking about at this point? Are we even
speaking of Windows 7?
reality out the window, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm seeing here that their Windows 7 call center is not really busy.
What do you mean? Like people aren't bitching and complaining, or
Microsoft has found that support calls for Windows 7 are half of what the company originally expected.
Half of what they expected? Because I'm sure they expected them to be less than what they were with Vista.
Yeah, they at the time of the writing of this particular article I'm looking at, they only had under 600 tweets to the to Microsoft Help's Twitter account.
You know, actually, I'm going to go one step further. Steven reports that expected support calls from family members running Windows 7 are less than half of what he expected. They bug me way less than I thought they would with Windows 7. I mean, I have a family member running Windows 7. What is it called? Release candidate?
Mm-hmm.
And the key didn't get put in right, so she's got the little warning. That's the only call I've gotten about it from her. Mom doesn't gripe anywhere near as often about that as she does other things like, you know, am I eating right? You know, painting Amy's toenails, stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to have to side with Microsoft on this. I need to call them and give them that statistical data so they can update their records.
Yeah. Mom hasn't called me about Windows 7.
Hadn't bugged me nearly as much as I thought she would.
I had a customer come in today. He had purchased a shuttle system from us about 18 months ago.
Interesting.
I really like this chassis. It's the SN68 chassis that we used to carry.
Yeah.
It's discontinued, but it's a really, really nice little chassis.
Yeah.
And he's running Vista on it, Vista 64.
Cool.
And I recommended to him that he should really, really entertain the thought of upgrading to Windows 7. And he actually said, well, I heard bad things about 7.
What?
And I'm like,
he is running with the wrong crowd. We need to call his mother.
I don't know, man. He's maybe running with scissors, stepping on cracks. Who knows? But, yeah.
Now, I
have not read any bad news from users of 7.
I got from my brother-in-law, I got an article talking about the actual rise in complaints. Now, when you read the article, you realize that it was kind of bollocks, but they were basically saying that 30-something percent of the Windows 7 complaints are people who are upgrading from Windows Vista and having problems.
Okay.
Now, this is interesting because we found that a lot of the problems with Windows 7 are when you're upgrading from a copy of Vista that may be broken. You got a virus or you have McAfee or something installed that gums up the gears. But, you know, that's so much less than from XP to Vista. Of course, if you have XP, you're going to have to do a clean install. Honestly, even if you have Vista, I suggest you do a clean install just because I'm paranoid like that. But you don't have to. And we got a lot of people who have – we have more people who have successfully upgraded and it's painless than have not. The fact that it's only 30% of the problems – because, I mean, if you read the statistics, 30% of the reported problems were with this. It wasn't 30% of people are having these problems. It's of the 10 guys that griped – three of them had this particular issue.
Yeah, exactly.
And I, for the customers that we've gotten that have had those issues, there was an underlying cause. Like they had a cockroach on their motherboard, or Satan was on their hard drive, or the Flying Spaghetti Monster, whatever. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that the calls are half what they expected.
We're already looking at rumors of a service pack for Windows 7. To get a summer 2010 release. So that's pretty quick. Windows 7 has not even been out a year, and it's already going to get a service pack.
Well, but summer 2010, that's going to be a, it'll have been out a full year when that service pack hits.
Yeah. And Vista got a service pack right around the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that there's supposedly another round of software, major software updates coming for it. But I'll be honest with you, if you're running Vista,
you're running the wrong OS, my friend. Needs to be Ubuntu or 7. Or a pirated copy of OS 10 sold you by SciStar. Ladies and gentlemen, SciStar, bringing the future to you. Yeah, 7's good. So, but, you know, you said that it's about a year off. I think that no matter how many updates come out, a service pack after about a year is a good thing, because what that does is it gives people a chance to have a less bloated install if you roll all of those updates up into the CDs, that because they, you know, press new CDs and send them out. Yeah, then your install's a little bit healthier. We noticed that here. Wow. Interesting. Okay. Well, what about this Predator drone thing? You know, we have a lot of people who complain how hard it is to copy TV shows from your TiVo to your computer, or, you know, play Blu-ray off your laptop onto your, because they use really tons of copy protection, right?
Man, they use they protect their content.
Yeah.
If you could see I'm looking at a chart showing the decryption overview for BD-ROM Blu-ray, basically. It is complicated, but it's what your Blu-ray player uses to secure that media. Well, they don't use any type of encryption for the video that's coming off a Predator drone.
I am in your Predator, hacking your drones.
It takes a $30 piece of Russian software on a laptop to...
Skygrabber.com is the name of the website.
Yeah, man. You tap into that feed and...
Oh, my gosh!
Yeah.
Skygrabber is an offline satellite internet downloader. It intercepts satellite data, movies, music, pictures, that download...
Drone video.
Yeah, that downloaded by other users and
downloaded.
Saves information...
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
In your hard disk.
You have to read this with a Russian accent.
So you'll get the new movie, based music, and funny pictures for free. In Soviet Russia, you don't download music. Music downloads you.
Man, it is actually written that way.
You don't have to keep online internet connection. Just customize your satellite dish to selected satellite provider and start grabbing. SkyGrabber has simple and attractive GUI, powerful filter system, and flexible settings. I'm just having fun talking that way. Sorry, I'll shut up.
And what's interesting is you're leaving out some of the articles because they're not in the actual copy. That's just great.
Wow.
I'm going to bookmark this just because it's got an image of a really big satellite.
Those are cool satellites.
I know, those are awesome.
And there's a big ball off to the left there.
It's just another type of antenna. Oh, it looks even better in Russian.
Does it?
Yeah.
Let's
having an overwhelming desire to drink vodka. Let me see if I can
click it from my list. That's with this guy grabber, but let's not get it in the attic of Blake and that. I really hope I didn't just insult anybody's mother. Wow, so basically bad guys are using this software to download the feeds from the drones?
Yeah, man, and I thought it was a bad thing to, you know, and it was a bad thing to rob, you know, like a DirecTV signal. You know,
Oh my gosh.
I'm watching a Predator. Oh, that's my house.
That's my house. Oh my God.
Pack your belongings, we're about to be bombed.
They've known about this since Bosnia in the 90s.
Yeah, because it appears that this little tidbit of information was released in a report in the Wall Street Journal. And we're quoting here from the Wall Street Journal, the potential drone vulnerability lies in an unencrypted download link between the unmanned craft and the ground control. Okay, so
Wow.
The U.S. government has known about the flaw since the U.S. campaign in Bosnia in the 90s. Current and former officials said the Pentagon assumed local adversaries would not know how to exploit it.
Wow.
I could just see some guy in a tent somewhere with a black and white TV going to 10 of 3, 10 of 4, 10 of... Oh. You know, and boom.
Wow. And, all right, that is all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. In an ironic twist of fate, predator drones are actually spying on us, listening to our show. They're fans, we know. We'll be back after the break with more news of the normal, weird, and wild. Stay tuned and sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice, a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O duck. The Elka pudding just so real.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frederick Mall, co-owner of Watermark Hypnosis. It's 2009 and we're celebrating our third anniversary in our location right here in Columbia's Vista. I started Watermark because hypnosis works. I lost 45 pounds and got rid of chronic back pain myself using hypnosis. And we're excited that our satisfied clients tell their friends and family about their successes.
Watermark hypnotists are nationally board certified and hypnosis instructors. They have the credentials and experience you can count on to succeed.
We're not an out-of-town act. We don't do a one-time show in a hotel room and then leave town the next day. We live here, and we're committed to seeing you succeed. You can rely on our professionalism and expertise.
Call Watermark today at 803-750-2000 for a free consultation. Watermark Hypnosis is the local name you can trust to help you lose weight, stop smoking, reduce stress, improve your golf or tennis game, and develop more positive, healthy habits. Call Watermark at 750-2000 or visit us on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
Hey, you don't have to be a man to love Manwich. You don't have to be a witch either, it's true. You just have to love a fun, tasty dinner. And wearing some of that dinner on you. Make tonight a manwich night.
It's the Onion Radio News. 180 trillion leisure hours were lost to work in 2004. This is Doyle Redland reporting.
Boston University School of Lifestyle Management released disturbing findings today that indicate that more than 180 trillion valuable leisure hours were lost to work in 2004. Sociology professor Adam Bernhardt headed the nationwide study of 12,000 Americans.
The majority of American adults find work cutting into the middle of their days, exactly when leisure is most effective. Unfortunately, most Americans can't enjoy leisure during this time for the simple reason that they're at work.
Bernhardt reluctantly added that the report was responsible for the loss of nearly 12,000 leisure hours. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, fold it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it.
Okay, we are back with more of That Computer Show. I want to start by saying, okay, Avatar the movie, go see it, blah, 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 3D, blue aliens, yakety smackety, yes, it's that good. I got it out of the way. Happy? Chris, did you see it?
Yes.
And pretty much what I just say was pretty accurate.
It was a really, really good film. It was a lot better than I expected it to be.
Blah, blah, blah. Keep talking. Keep talking.
No, I'm serious. I went into it because the guys, well, we were here at the store blowing up people in Call of Duty 4, and they were like, come on, man.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, let's go watch this movie to be great. Just us and the guys. I'm 3D. Like, well, I don't know. I don't know. So we went. I wasn't expecting
James
a whole lot.
Cameron.
But I actually really enjoyed the film.
3 hours long. Ladies and gentlemen, I haven't seen it yet, but I've yet to hear anybody badmouth it.
Okay, it's kind of a cross between Aliens and what was that movie with Mel Gibson in it?
Lethal Weapon?
No, the one where he painted his face blue.
Mad Max, Braveheart.
It was a combination of Aliens and Braveheart, and maybe a little bit of Jurassic Park thrown in there because most of the creatures in there are very prehistoric looking, very Jurassic.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, Neilani, the blue chick, is Uhura from Star Trek.
Ah, now, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I just epiphanied you guys. Boo!
So, yeah.
That's right, son.
It's a really, really good film. It was.
And the guy from House is on it. One of the guys from House, the really tall, it's Temperance Brennan's assistant.
That's not House.
Not House. What Bones. Did I say? Bones. Oh my gosh, I am gonna get nuked for that. I meant to say Bones. Why did I say House? I don't even watch House anymore.
House is a good show.
I'm sure it's a great show. I just don't watch it. I've been watching Bones.
I mean, we do have Wilson working for us now.
We do have Wilson. And we actually, apparently, well, I'm not going to say Eric is House, but he's got the cane. So,
yep. Anyway, so.
Yeah. Moving on. Avatar, go see it. And from what I've heard, go see it in 3D.
See, that's the thing. The guys didn't want to pay the extra $3 to go see it in 3D.
So you didn't see it in 3D?
I didn't get to see it in 3D.
Oh, my gosh. So you suck. I haven't seen it.
I am going to take my girlfriend to go see it in 3D. I want to see it in 3D. I'm pretty sure she'll want to see it in 3D.
One of our customers, a friend of the store who actually works at a movie theater, he said he was like, dude, go see it in 3D. I saw it in 3D, and go see it in 3D. And that's kind of
They didn't want to see it in 3D, and I was like, well...
Why not?
Whatever.
That's like saying, I want to go see Moulin Rouge in black and white.
Derek? Didn't want to see it in 3D.
Darth J, I'm going to kick you in the shin when I see you. No, I'm not going to kick you in the shin because that would hurt. I'm going to kick you in the shoe. Remind me? Make a memo.
Make a note of that on the show notes.
Show notes, kick. I don't know why I have an old-fashioned typewriter in here. In related news, the decade's most profitable actress. You know who it is? Lindsay Lohan? No.
What about Angelina Jolie?
No. Her lips actually are the most profitable.
Yeah, her lips made more money than the rest of them.
It wasn't even Meryl Streep. It was actually Emma Watson. Hermione?
Really? Hermione?
Frizzy hair. What's her last name? Granger? Something
Granger,
like that.
Yeah. You have dirt on your nose. Do you realize that? Right
That's
there.
The second time. Take that, Twilight fans. Werewolves and vampires, Mike.
They're not real vampires.
No, what? Whatever.
They're not real vampires? Sparkly vampires,
they're
really?
Sparkly vampires.
Emo vampires. Don't even get me started. I gave my word that I wasn't going to bust on Twilight, and guess what? I just broke it. Vampires and werewolves and... Ugh. In fairness, yeah, Team Edward, Team Jacob, whatever. In fairness, I haven't read any of the books. I haven't watched any of the movies.
I don't think they could come close to the Harry Potter series as far as depth of, and
see, and then that's the thing. Since I haven't given either of the series a chance, I can't really comment on it. It's all unfair speculation. But I have heard a lot of people say that the Twilight novels offer more blatant and abhorrent titillation. It's basically a Harlequin romance couched in a little bit of literary intellectualism. But effectively, it's still a Harlequin romance. But they're fun. People are like giggling and giddy. I don't know. But I can say this. Go see Avatar.
Yes, go see Avatar.
Yeah. And I can also say, Verizon, what are you doing? What? Have you heard this?
They're doubling their early disconnect fee.
Yes, okay. The headline reads, Verizon doubles its early termination fee, allows you to broker your firstborn for a better phone and more minutes.
Wow.
That is funny. I made that up, but anyway. Yeah, so I can't find the encryption, predator drone. I can't find the article now. I probably have.
I officially am switching to the Google Chrome browser.
Are you really officially?
I like the fact that it auto completes with Google my typing in the address bar, as opposed to having to go to Google to do that. It's built in.
Okay, here we go. Verizon is defending its decision to double its early termination fee from $175 to $350. Not Zimbabwe dollars. After being called to account by the FCC, they claim it's because the higher fees allow them to offer more expensive phones with a lower upfront cost. They also say that because of the prorate, they prorate the fee depending on how much your contract is left. They still lose money. Verizon customer service horror stories. Can you hear me now? Wow. You know what? I use Sprint. That's all I'm saying.
I do think, though, that they should make it mandatory that the early termination fee be up front and posted.
Have to be grandfathered in, I say.
It should be posted on the product. It should be very up front, because in my opinion, that's some of that fine print that will just get you.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's all, the devil's in the details.
And so it's I don't know. It's just ridiculous. For example, they have the Droid phone, the Motorola Droid. Yeah. It's $299 with a 2-year contract, or $369 with a 1-year contract. If you skip out on the contract, $560. So,
wowzer, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Whew. Hey, did you know that Disney World may actually be the happiest place on earth?
It might be.
Yeah. There's an interesting article from USA Today.
Did you hear about the last Disney? He passed away.
Uncle Disney?
Yes. Not Walt. Roy. Disney.
Yeah, Roy. Aww.
Yeah, Uncle Roy.
He was, I'm sad in my heart.
79. He was the face of Google for our generation, and he lost a 30-year battle with Crohn's disease.
I think he meant face of Disney.
Yes.
He said face of Google.
Did I say Google? I'm at Disney.
Google is in your brain.
It has tapped my mind.
Oh, dear. Yeah, sound the alarms. Containment fields. Bring out the containment fields. We gotta detox Chris.
Google brainwashing.
Oh, man.
It's the browser.
It is the browser. His little eyes are little Chrome symbols instead of eyeballs.
I think Andrew is slowly converting all of us.
No.
Droid.
The USA Today article, Centers for Disease Control. Is that right? People in sunny states are the happiest. New Yorkers, the least happy. We already knew that New Yorkers were the least happy people on Earth, really?
Yeah.
Okay, Associated Press. People in sunny, outdoorsy states, Louisiana, Hawaii, Florida, say they're the happiest Americans.
You can't not be happy in Hawaii.
You really can't. With all that spam, really? Yeah.
And pineapple and...
Researchers think they know why. A new study comparing self-described pleasant feelings with objective measures of good living found these folks generally have reason to feel fine. Basically... this is kind of a no-brainer, because sunny, happy places don't suck like gloomy, cold, miserable, wet.
Look at all the depressing rock music that comes out of Seattle. I'm just saying.
Plaid? Really?
Yeah. Come on. Now, granted, I enjoyed some of that music.
Well, yeah, me too.
But, most of it was, you know, my life sucks, digga 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 on the
angry
guitar.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, but what about Israel Kamahamadimua, that Wonderful World song, the big Hawaiian guy? You cannot listen to that song and not be
happy. And feel happy, yeah. Even though it's kind of a slow...
I think it's... What's that art, that instrument?
Ukulele.
The ukulele, thank you. Notable exceptions being Tiny Tim, because...
Tiptoe through the tulips
with me. But my point being,
he's a very big man too.
Speaking of, no, I'm not going to go there.
To see that very large man with that tiny little ukulele prancing around, stomping in flowers.
See if I can find that song.
Not really what it was about.
I don't know. I own that MP3. Let me find it. I'll find it later. But yeah, that song. If you want to hear the epitome of a happy song, it's What a Wonderful World, and what's the other song that he bashes two songs together?
It's
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Over the Rainbow, What a Wonderful World.
So he puts it to this just beautiful Hawaiian ukulele, and it's just haunting, ladies and gentlemen, but in a happy way. So the moral of the story is everyone in New York is moving to Hawaii, and... No one's moving to Louisiana, though. I'm not going to say why.
Mm.
Apparently, they don't use ukuleles. They use banjos that duel.
Have you heard about this?
Oh, I have.
This thing with Microsoft and Plurk.
I can't even say that word you just said and not feel dirty.
Plurk?
I took a Plurk.
Hey. Don't you plurk me. I will plurk you in the plurk in a moment.
What are we, like Smurfs now?
That's like saying Smurf.
Yeah, that's a Smurfy like, Smurf with the Smurf Smurf. Beep, beep, beep.
It's like, shut the Smurf up.
Go Smurf yourself,
yeah.
Kyle. All right, so quit plurking around.
Earlier this week, Plurk accused Microsoft of plurking about 80% of its code to create the microblog Juku for MSN China.
Whirly, whirly, blue. Whirly, whirly,
blue. Redmond responded by pulling their site down and plurking an investigation.
And he plurked and plurking.
So far, Microsoft has acknowledged that a portion of the code they plurked was indeed copied.
Oh, they got caught jukuing.
Though it blamed a vendor for jukuing the code, which was in clear violation of the Plurk's contract with the MSN China.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what you just witnessed is the complete and utter devolution of That Computer Show, episode 117.
Basically, Microsoft blatantly copied this application. And if you look at...
It was called Plurk.
They call it Juku.
Speaking of which, I need to talk about Yowza.
They used a couple of the same letters in the name, and I'm going to show Steven
here. Well, there are only 26 in the alphabet, so chances are...
This is Plurk.
Hold on. What is it?
It's a social networking thing. Okay. It's like MSN on steroids.
All right, there's Plurk.
That's Plurk. That's Juku.
I like Juku better.
It's Plurk with different colors.
But it's... No, see how they have the curve there? See?
Mm.
And I'm just saying.
And there's also imagery of some of the code formatted exactly the same way. Now, last week it was speculated that it was just a blatant ripoff of the UI, maybe the code had been lifted a little bit. This week, Microsoft actually admitted to the code being copied. The official response to Microsoft's apology is kind of mixed feelings here.
Go plurk yourselves!
Yeah, basically. They say, and I quote, "We are currently looking at all possibilities on how to move forward in response to Microsoft's recent apology statement. We're still thinking of pursuing the full extent of our plurking options available to the seriousness of the situation." Basically, they're going to sue Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm going to translate that. We're a couple of kids who made some cool stuff, and then Microsoft took it, and we just realized that we don't need to be bought by another company because we can just sue the crap out of Microsoft. And that's cool.
And then move to Hawaii where we'll be happy.
Yeah, let's go skiing and then go eat some spam. 2 minutes. We only have 2 minutes left in the show. I needed to talk about something. Oh, yes. I need to talk about something. And then I'm not plurking around. Okay. I have a friend, Greg. He's on a TV show. My close personal friend. You know, I've talked to him a lot. Greg Grunberg. He is Matt Parkman on Heroes.
One of my favorite characters, by the way.
Yeah, he really is one of our favorite characters. And we're not just saying that because he's
mind control or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's why he's my close personal friend on Twitter. He's never really said anything to me, but well, anyway.
He doesn't have to. He can just put those thoughts in your mind.
Exactly. He just talks to me, and So, sorry, I'm waxing poetic here about my friend.
I've actually seen Greg on a couple of other programs. I think. What's interesting is I think it was one of the, like House or Bones or something.
Yeah, he's been on one of those shows. So anyway, cutting to the chase. He has a product called Yowza.
Which is really cool.
It's cool, yeah. It's on my Android phone. It's on iPhones. You know that stupid hamster that nobody can get? It's like some toy hamster that everybody wants for Christmas. If you're a Yowza subscriber, if you go to Toys R Us and show them the barcode on your phone, you can get one. It's like a super... It's basically, they give you cool online coupons. They appear on your phone. The person scans the barcode from your phone, and you get the deal. 20% off of a washing or dryer in Sears, whatever. That computer store is going to be the first Yowza advertiser in South Carolina. And my close personal friend, Greg Grunberg, it's in the works. We're going to get him on the show.
That's going to be awesome.
We're going to have a Heroes major awesome TV star and founder of Yowza. We're going to try and get him on the show. And it's not just going to be Chris making weird voices, I hope. So on that note, that's all for this episode of That Computer Show. We are off to jingle our bells and sing Wintering Miss Carols at That Computer. Don't look at me. That's not the kind of bell jingling I'm talking about, Kyle. We'll be back next week with more That Computer Show pervert. Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. I get faster each week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Look us up at TCO Jordan. Tweet with us and join in on the fun. Until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
Oh, and ABC Columbia in South Carolina. Watch our commercial. It starts tonight. So anyway, until next week, this is Steven.
Nope, this is Chris again.
And you've been listening to That Computer Show.